This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Let's be honest, what we've seen in the early response to the Devil's Den murders hasn't exactly inspired confidence. Two parents are murdered on a hiking trail in the middle of a sunny Saturday. Their children, 7 and 9 years old, left to run for their lives. And the public doesn't even find out for another 6 hours. No alerts, no warnings. Families camping in that very park. People on the trail, nearby, completely unaware that a killer just walked past them. What's the excuse? From law enforcement? Bad cell service. Foliage. Terrain. And then when the tip line is finally set up, guess what? It doesn't work. And it hangs up on people for days, including witnesses, including us. And I know that because I was on the phone with people who saw the suspect, who tried to call it in and couldn't get through, so they ended up here. It's not a minor issue. That's a complete system failure, kids. Now look, I'm not trying to vilify anyone in law enforcement, but I am holding them accountable. Because if a podcaster can get you the people to give you the sketch, surface key eyewitnesses, and get a video of the vehicle to the public before the authorities even hold a single press conference, then something is fundamentally broken in your process. That brings us to today's conversation with Robin Drake. Robin is a retired FBI special agent and former chief of the FBI's Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. The man knows leadership. He knows what operational readiness looks like. More importantly, he knows what it doesn't look like. In this segment, we're going to get into the failures, the communication breakdowns, the lack of public trust, and the way poor response management can erode confidence in law enforcement faster than a fleeing suspect. What happens when people stop calling the police and start calling podcasters? What happens when the only voices getting the story out are the ones not in uniform? Let's find out. I want to talk about the law enforcement response to this, and I'm not trying to be critical, although I've had to be extremely critical over the last
days,
because nothing was being fixed, nothing was being changed, and it drove me nuts.
The call-in number.
Oh my God. And our we have a lot of local viewers now and a lot of local listeners to this, because we've been basically the only one reporting on it, because local media hasn't done much. To put some context here, they put out a tip line at 8 o'clock at night. Let me back up even a moment before that. This thing took place at about 1:30 in the afternoon on Saturday, the 26th of July, 2025. It wasn't until 8:30-ish at night that they finally put out a public bulletin stating, hey, by the way, there was a double homicide here at this hiking trail that you're all camping at, enjoying your day and barbecues and hot dogs and baked beans. Yeah, there's a family dead just down the way. Thought you should know 6 hours later. That to me was shocking. They were well aware of this. They knew there was two bodies there by 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They finally came out with a statement that said, well, we had bad cell service, the terrain, and foliage. I'm sorry, it's not 1925. It's 2025. I get it. It's bad cell service out there. What the hell is going on that it took that many hours to let the public know this is going on? And I get, you know, you do want to keep some of this under wraps so you don't tip the guy off, but obviously he knows he's going to be looked for at this moment in time. And you have a lot of scared citizens and people who have a right to know that this guy is on the loose. It took forever to get any sort of information, just that much. And then the tip line they put out isn't working for 3 days. We called it. Hundreds of listeners called that damn thing and said, it just hangs up on you. So I get on the air, complain about it for 3 days, and finally they put out one that works and a website that people can go to. 3 days! The first 24 to 48 hours are the most important in any investigation, and they completely dropped the ball on it, giving these BS excuses of foliage. I get it. sometimes, like in the Koberger case, they knew who they were going after right away. And they didn't necessarily need to keep putting things out there. And it did look like they were dropping the ball. But sometimes they are truly dropping the ball. Right. They didn't have a sketch. They didn't have anything of this guy until I brought them the people that said they could identify the guy and give them a sketch. And then they finally got a sketch out. This should not be the job of a podcaster. This should be law enforcement doing this. What's going on behind the scenes?
In situations like that, the only thing I first go to is we got leadership with no reps.
Yeah.
You know, there's two possibilities, and there's lots of possibilities, but the only two things that really enter my mind is summer vacation or leadership with no reps or a combination of two.
Yeah.
Because when you drop the ball on these things, there are chiefs of police, there's law enforcement individuals that I know that would be able to, without bat an eyelash, just take charge, take command. I've been part of them where, like, all of a sudden you're just like, you're sitting back and watching the show. You're watching true leadership take command of the situation, the public information that gets out there. They got a process in place for that. They have a process in place for notifying locals, for notifying news organizations. They have, because they have experience in having done this before. I have not done any research on the law enforcement in the area here, how many sworn they have, don't have sworn. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know I know there's issues sometimes when you're dealing with state parks and park police, and whether it's a national or a state park. I mean, so there's a lot of different jurisdiction type of issues that might have muddled this earlier on for this as well, which becomes confusing. And that's the only explanation I can come up with. But to your point though, too, that's why I think shows like this and others and social media is really helping these cases. I mean, just look in the Koberger case. Who is one of the ones that was really feeding law enforcement early on? The dad of Maddie.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, Stephen was going at it. You know, he's the one who provided, you know, the investigators in Moscow, you know, the video from the Grubhub truck.
Yeah.
You know, and so, hey, you know, sometimes it takes a kick in the ass.
That's what it seems. I mean, it shouldn't have to. And I guess that's the shocking part. I don't know why I'm shocked by it all the time, but because it's like, I think we sometimes have this idea of our institutions that they're going to work, they're going to function as planned, but that's not always the case. And unfortunately, I don't know if it's just having to be held accountable because somebody's watching them and they can't just do business as usual of, well, here's how we handle things here. Well, guess what? This is something you have to handle a little bit different because public safety is a key factor here. I mean, again, this is a hiking community. This is what people do here.
Right.
And now you have this whole area being very, very cautious of getting out on any of these trails because the guy is at large. We don't know much about him. Is this someone who's trying to be turned into a serial killer? We don't know the answer to that. We don't know, was this targeted? It's just all up in the air. But when they respond back with such BS answers like cell service, foliage, the terrain. The terrain, Bill. Tell him it's the terrain. I mean, come on.
Here's why you shouldn't have heard that. The reason you shouldn't have heard that, or anyone shouldn't hear that, is because what you're supposed to do in law enforcement as a first responder is rehearsals. You rehearse and plan out every possible contingency that you can think of in your area of operation. Now, you're not going to capture them all, but you're then going to create a standard operating procedure for X, for Y. Mm-hmm. And that's why schools do active shooter drills. That's why they do them at universities. That's why they have fire drills. That's why we do all these different things to practice these contingencies. What happens is when we see the great departments that have a great response, all of a sudden they're on it. You know, they're telling, hey, we're going to do a press briefing at this time, here's what we know, here's what we don't know, here's why we can't tell you, here's what we do tell you. Because it's not their first rodeo. It might be their first live experience, but they've done the rehearsals, they've gotten in training reps. Mm-hmm. What this shows me is they did not have any training reps for a contingency of someone being either seriously injured or murdered on their trails.
Is that excusable? Because it's a good thing they don't have reps in real life because that means this doesn't happen here very often. But there should be some sort of training reps, like you just said. Or, training is training. Real life is real life, and the two are very different. I guess, have some grace here on this or call it out and say, do better.
I think we're, it depends on where they go from here. So let's go to the behaviors of trust. So now we'll go to my area, which I love. And so the behaviors of trust are open, honest communication, transparency, and vulnerability. And so we want open, honest communication with from them. We want the honesty of what happened and what's going to move forward from here. And the big thing is the vulnerability. And what I mean by vulnerability, are they going to own their missteps? And are they going to tell you what they're doing to correct those missteps and not just tell you the words, but take the action? So I'm, what we should, what I know we're all doing now is we're taking a deep breath and we're watching what's going to change from this point forward. Are they going to start doing a change? Are they going to, or are they going to double down on stupid? That's what is going to really going to, because when you double down on the behaviors you've done, and so here's what the challenge happens sometimes. I guarantee this is happening. Behind the scenes on the law enforcement side, you have them, there's a probability, not guarantee, but a probability they're moaning, bitching, and complaining about guys like you and me that are blasting them for not doing more because in their minds they're doing more. Okay, so let's take it for granted that they're doing more than we know about, which I guarantee they are. But the problem is this, the public perception is that they're not. Mm-hmm. And when you have to have a public perception that gives trust and faith in an organization, where if you want to be the sump of information where it should be, it should, all the information should be going to law enforcement first and foremost so they can get data points so they can capture this guy and bring justice, mm-hmm. right? But if no one trusts them because of public perception, no matter how that public perception was created, that's on them.
Yeah. Well, I find, go ahead. Continue, please.
Yeah, because here's the alternative. That when the public doesn't trust the institution, what are they going to do? They're going to go to you. They're going to go to other podcasters and true crime people to pass the information to, because they're trusting us to do something with it. And we're going to do something with it. But the problem is we're not law enforcement. And so we become, when people become the in-between, because no one trusts the law enforcement because they have a public perception of not taking the action they need to take, that's on law enforcement. They've got to do something. Whether they think it's true or not behind the scenes, it doesn't matter, because that's a public opinion.
Well, and that's the reality is you can think it's not true all you want back there in law enforcement. It's true. It doesn't matter. Do better. That's what I've been saying the whole time. That's what I said on Banfield last night. Do better. We're not trying to be your enemy. We're not trying to hinder your investigation. We're trying to help you. But when the public witnesses come to me after trying to get a hold of you for days and can't, and the answer is, just keep trying. And I hear, well, there's other lines too. That's not, people don't jump through hoops. Put something out there that works.
Here's the critical thing that, to keep in mind. So then put yourself in the mind of people that have valuable information. If the people that have valuable information are saying this, I want to do something, but I don't know what to do with it. Yeah. That means you failed.
Yeah. And I've also heard from several people who have brought fairly valid tips to them, getting dismissed directly on the phone, like immediately, without even like looking at the data or the information that they're presenting. And I take a look at it going, yeah, there should be a couple eyeballs on this, especially some suspicious online activity that's been out there that we have seen that should have some eyes on it. There seems to be that attitude as well. And I've heard that from several people who now finally have gotten a hold of somebody. And then we didn't think it's it. I don't know. I'm not feeling good about this investigation.
And so and this is so important too. So regardless, because again, it's easy to go down the road, and I do this when I'm thinking about this. Well, maybe they already know who this guy is.
Maybe.
They just can't find him yet. But here's the problem with that. Good. But if the people that want to keep helping are discouraged from keeping helping, then whether it's this case or the next case, they're going to figure, what's the use?
Exactly. When you're dismissed, when you're bringing valuable information, at least what you perceive as being valuable information, and you're just kind of poo-pooed out there, which is what is happening in this case. And again, maybe they already know the answers to some of these questions, but you can't tell the people that are coming to you to F off, basically. And I know they didn't say that verbatim, but that's the perception that a lot of people are getting. I've heard directly from them. That doesn't encourage people to share with you when it's already a five-ring circus they have to jump through just to talk to somebody.
The most important thing when you are in a position like law enforcement is when you rely on the village. It takes a village to do all these things. The most important thing is the people, is for your public that's bringing you information either this time or the next time when something tragic happens, is for you to validate them and their actions. Yeah. And you do that by saying, hey, I got to tell you what, that was very valuable tip you just called in. Thank you very much. We're going to take it. We're going to put it over there for everything else we got. If you have anything else or you know anyone else, either now or in the future, please come to me. Thank you very much.
And there are good people out there in it. I've talked to several of them in the course of this investigation that have said to me, look, if you have anybody and they can't get through, here's my number. Have them call me directly. And I have passed that along. But again, that's not how this should be run. Most people are not going to have that interaction, and I'm not going to be talking to most of them or even know about them. So they're not going to know to get that number. It's a cluster. They got to make it easy.
Got to make it easy to be a help.
Exactly. Exactly.
And now, granted, and I get it. When I was in FBI New York, and right after 9/11, worked 9/11 in New York City and that whole mess and tragedy. And after that, we had the anthrax scare.
Yeah.
And I worked tip lines when the anthrax scare. And I'll tell you, the most challenging thing ever is being our 800 operators, which I was setting on those phones for a while because you get a lot of crazy crackpots, you know, calling in stuff like, oh my gosh, someone's shooting missiles at a building I'm listening to stuff. And the first time you're listening to the crazy, you're like, wow, really? Yeah. And all of a sudden you're realizing, oh, that's a crazy. So you got to filter.
Yeah.
But at the same time though, it's very challenging because you have to validate everyone. And that takes what? It takes bandwidth. It takes effort. It takes time. It takes some training. And it takes a lot of energy away from, you know, if you're a limited small force, a small number of people. I mean, listen to the beautiful 911 caller that you were chatting with. You know, they had three callers on that day. It's not a lot of callers, you know, for a lot of information coming in. So you can understand the challenge at the beginning if they weren't ready.
Mm-hmm.
But from this point forward, they need to really get on the ball really rapidly. So people have trust and faith in the system.
You know, it takes all of those things without a doubt. But what it takes more than anything else is just a little bit of empathy. And that doesn't take hours. It doesn't take tons of people. It takes the approach. It takes when you do get that interaction to have a little empathy for that person who is fearful for their safety and they're trying to protect their community and they're trying to bring you information. And what they get is a go away.
Where's the briefings?
Yeah. Well, that's another thing. We are now, this is what, Wednesday? Is it Wednesday? I believe so. This happened on Saturday. There has been no press conference. There's been a couple tweets and a couple PDFs that have been released. No press conference on any of this to reassure the public, say anything about this. Maybe we have a lead, maybe we don't. Just something.
Most of my data I get when doing my initial assessments on cases like this are from watching the chief brief it.
We don't even have that.
And it doesn't even, because it always gives me so much understanding of what's going on behind the scenes, because it's easy to see whether they got their finger on the pulse, whether they don't. You can tell by the tempo of their delivery. You can tell by how they're taking questions on whether they're on their shit or not.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's been every single case we covered. The first thing I go for is I'm waiting for the briefing.
Yeah.
Because I want to see them, because that's going to tell me the depth of field they have and the experience they have in covering cases like this, as well as how much they have their pulse on this one, regardless of what they're willing to give out to the public or not. So for everyone listening, that's what you're looking for. Not necessarily what they can say or not say because of the investigation. That's great. I'm looking for competence in delivery. I'm looking for congruence in the things they're saying, that they say we're confident we're going to get them. And emotionally, do they feel it? You're going to be able to pick up on these things. So that's what we're not getting here. That's why we're in a lot of blind spots still right now on this. It's kind of shocking, actually.
Which is very important. You have a community. There's like a million plus people in this area. We're not, you know, a small little town. And even if you were, you would still want to communicate. The fact that is not happening at all. It seems to be such a blind spot. Now, I'll eat crow. If they find this guy and they already have him in their sights and they're just waiting for the right time or whatever, and great, wonderful, behind the scenes, maybe you got it covered. Your job is to keep your community, even if you're not, don't have him in your sights, informed and aware and feeling that the community feeling you are competent in your job. The community does not feel that they're being competent in their job right now.
So this town, Tony, help me understand. Yeah. Is this town run by a town supervisor, mayor, and you happen to know?
This is out in Washington County. It is, I don't know the exact jurisdiction because it's outside of Fayetteville. So it's now being headed up by the state police with the FBI now providing assistance out of Little Rock.
Because I would think at this point, though, whoever's the elected official that runs this area, why are they not poking at law enforcement or any of themselves coming out and having a presser? That's what's kind of shocking. It's like, all right, so if law enforcement falls down for X, Y, and Z, because maybe, you know, hey, you know, worst case scenario, it's summer. Maybe the chief is on vacation. It was just a conglomeration of really worst case scenarios coming together. Well, that's why you actually have checks and balances with the elected officials now holding someone accountable, if not themselves, to get up there and let's have a brief, man.
I'm sick of excuses with people, with all of it. There's no excuses. It's like, okay, they're on vacation. Well, then get his ass back here as quickly as he can.
Yes.
If not, until then, the one who's in, it's not like there's nobody in charge. It's not just like, well, you guys do your thing. We get back. We'll do what we do. I mean, someone like in lieu of the chief not being here and talk with the chief when he's on vacation and figure out what your message is going to be and get it out there. You can't just send out a PDF when there's a double homicide in a community and there's kids and people. I mean, this is a horrific horror story, and it's seemingly utterly tone deaf from the authorities. This is why you thankfully have private media, podcasters, myself, all the others who are beginning to cover this as well.
Keeping them accountable, because Tony, here's what so where I go on the behavioral side of this, we're seeing data points lining up of chaos.
Yeah.
In other words, who the hell is leading?
I don't know. And I'm all over this story. I have no idea.
No, so my next thing jumps to what the hell's going on in this town? You know, that no one is actually, you know, so my brain starts going to, all right, so we had a horrendous situation here, which in normal, healthy, you know, government politics, law enforcement life should be handled like X, Y, and Z. And it's completely vacant. And generally when things are completely vacant, you know, your brain fills it with, there must be chaos. So someone's got to tell me why there's not chaos. Because right now I'm thinking this thing looks like a crap show to me.
And if the answer is that's not our job, you're wrong. That is exactly your job. Exactly.
Because you know what? If you make it your job, you're now the person in charge.
I feel like Gordon Ramsay going in here and like, oh my God, what's in your freezer?
You know, so I know I've probably said it to you before. One of the greatest expressions that really helped me as a young Marine Corps officer was, because there's no standard operating procedure for chaos.
No.
A standard operating procedure gets you to the line of embarkation. And all of a sudden, like you said before, when the fog of war hits, now you just have to move forward. And the expression was simply, what now, Lieutenant? You know, you're brand new second lieutenant and chaos hits. And when you're constantly looking around, no, everyone's looking to you. What now, Lieutenant? What are you going to do now? And so no one so far is stepping up and saying, I got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully that changes. Hopefully that that gets
back on track. Kick him in the ass. Exactly. Someone has to.
Well, we'll keep doing it.
Because you have two little girls that are without a mom and a dad right now.
And they deserve looking for answers. Yeah.
And you have a community wondering what the hell's next. And we've seen it. You've talked to beautiful, amazing people on your show, you know, from the 911 callers to the other witnesses that were just there looking to be a help, looking, you know, they're the villagers saying, hey, where's our village leader? We can actually do something about this.
Be good to see one stand up. Washington County, Arkansas State Police, somebody. I know Arkansas State Police is a lead on this.
Tony for mayor.
Do better.
Tony for mayor.
Do better. My God. What Robin just laid out couldn't be any clearer. This isn't just a case of murder investigations unfolding. It's a leadership failure unfolding in real time. It's what happens when public safety takes a backseat to institutional routine. And it's what happens when law enforcement forgets that perception matters just as much as procedure. Because here's the truth. If your tip line doesn't work, if your public isn't informed, if your briefings are non-existent, then your investigation, no matter how solid behind the scenes, is already losing in the eyes of the people you serve. And this is bigger than just optics. It's about trust. You don't get trust back in a tweet. You get it back by showing up early, consistency, and with something called transparency. That's what leadership looks like, not excuses about foliage. Not radio silence, not waiting days to tell families camping in the area and the state park that there's been a double homicide nearby and, I don't know, maybe you might want to consider a different place to do s'mores tonight. And if your best leads are coming in from witnesses calling a podcast because they can't get a human being on the phone in law enforcement, then you've lost control of the narrative. And worse, you've lost control of the trust that fuels cooperation. So before you tell everybody, don't talk to the media, how about you let them talk to you? The question now isn't just who committed the crime, it's who's getting this, going to step up and lead? Who's going to look the public in the eye and say, we dropped the ball and here's what we're doing to fix it? Because as Robin said, people want to help. People are trying to help, but they need someone to receive it, someone to validate them. I know they finally got a new phone number up 4 days later. Someone needs to lead the damn village. The Brinks daughters are without their parents. An entire community is walking around wondering if a killer is still in the woods, and the institutions designed to protect them are shrugging through it like it's a scheduling conflict. That's not good enough, and it never was, and it never will be. Do better. Tell me your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. If you're not there already, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, and you will find us there. That's where we cover this case and all of the cases that we got here, right here at the Hidden Killers podcast in True Crime Today. Also, hit subscribe on the podcast platform as well so you don't miss any of our coverage in this and the many cases. But importantly, let me know your comments in the comments section on YouTube. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.